Welcome to the Electronic Entertainment Expo Extravaganza, only on GamingUncensored.com.
Hey, what is up? Welcome to episode 4 of E4 2019. I'm Tommy, that's Jamie. How you doing, man?
Not bad. Lots going on.
We're like in the heat of it now. Like we're just trying to figure out space to get stuff done, as we've got games coming at us from all over the place. So this is episode 4. The focus for this episode is going to be the Bethesda conference. Let's just jump right into it. What are your general thoughts? We'll go through some of the specifics. What are your general thoughts on Bethesda this year?
Well, you know what? It wasn't bad, mainly because they knew they sucked this year, and they opened up that way. And that was a good way to go about it, because our buddy Todd Howard walked out, and he's like, "Dudes, we blew this year. And we're really, really, really sorry." And I don't know why. We've talked about it before. Todd is one of those guys, just put him on stage and let him go. And I think it went a long way for that crowd.
I do, too. Now, let me mention something about the crowd really quick, because that's something that stood out to me about this show. They were very intentional about getting a friendly crowd in the room.
Yes.
Like, I don't know what they did to do that, but they got a very friendly crowd.
Well, they were all drunk.
Apparently, it was something, man. They were wild.
They had the open bar open before the conference started, I think.
I believe it, because they were the crowd was pumped and like interrupting like all the time. You could hear people screaming out stuff the whole time. It was a little crazy, like it was a little chaotic. But I think that was ultimately like the optics, I think, were really good for Bethesda in that. Like you said, Todd coming out and just being like, "We know we were there last year too," you know, like and being pretty upfront about stuff, and then even, you know, kind of taking it in stride and a couple of times talking about we heard you, you know, we heard you loud and clear on stuff, and that was at least endearing. We didn't get tons of new software. I don't think there's anything crazy major in here we're going to talk through as we go through this, but it wasn't bad. We saw some gameplay, not tons still, but we saw a little bit of gameplay, which was refreshing, which was a good thing. So with that, let's just jump in and talk about just going through kind of topics. Elder Scrolls Blades right at the top, that's something they're pushing, the mobile thing. Coming to Switch, which is noteworthy, will be free on the Switch like it is free on mobile devices, and it will be cross-platform, and so you can start on your mobile device and then go to the Switch or whatever. All of which is good. The game itself just still doesn't look that compelling to me, you know, maybe as a mobile game and not as a Switch game. Like, I need a little bit more depth than this thing appears to have for a Switch game.
It's another one of those, hey, it's Elder Scrolls, let's make money while we're waiting on 6.
Yes.
And believe it or not, whether it's free to play or not, they're making money. So, so that's what that is. They know it. Everybody knows it. And I'm okay with it.
And we got plenty more Elder Scrolls coming, and none of it is Elder Scrolls 6. And yeah. But after Elder Scrolls Blades, getting ahead of myself on Elder Scrolls, they talked Fallout 76. And so that obviously was the kind of come out, eat crow moment. But talked about how we're going to keep working on it, and our players that are playing this game are great, and we want to honor them, and we want to make this better. And so they're doing a couple of things. One, they're releasing a new update that's called Wastelanders that is doing something they honestly should have done in the first place, but I'm glad they're doing now, which is introducing NPCs to the world. And so there will be NPCs now in Fallout 76, which will obviously help with story and progression, all that kind of stuff. That seems like a no-brainer. They wanted to do this cool thing that they thought was going to work, and I don't think anybody else really thought it was going to work, and it didn't. So they're kind of coming back to more traditional game in that sense, which is nice.
I think that it's going to be hard to take a game that did not have NPCs and throw them in there. I mean, that's hard. So
it was weird to start with, and it's weird now.
I'm glad they're doing it, but I don't know how well it's going to turn out.
Yeah, we'll see. If you want to check it out, though, point number two here of 3 points, there is a week-long free trial for Fallout 76 this week until the 17th, and so starting today through the 17th. And so if you've thought about checking it out, here's a chance to check it out for free, obviously trying to build up some goodwill and get some more people in there. And then thirdly, also trying to build up some goodwill, and this is cringeworthy to me, but it is what it is. It's getting a new game mode. Shocker what that's going to be. It's called Nuclear Winter, and it's a Battle Royale. So now we've got Battle Royale, 52 players that will also have the Fallout 76 enemies as part of it, which the enemies look like the coolest part of the game, like these crazy big mutant enemies all over the place. So you'll be both fighting each other and fighting off enemies as you are Battle Royaling it up to become the Overwatcher, Overseer, whatever it's called, whoever's left standing at the end.
Meh. I mean,
I don't need I mean, we've talked about this. Neither one of us are Battle Royale guys. I don't need Battle Royale Fallout. There's a lot of things about this game that could interest me. A Battle Royale mode is not one of them.
No. I mean,
God bless them for trying.
I mean, that's basically what Fallout 76 is in slow-mo anyway. I mean, like, it's the slowest battle royale ever, so I don't really get it, but okay.
Yeah, it's a thing, and it's the first real, I mean, we had Apex Legends from EA, but after that, we haven't seen a ton of battle royale at E3 this year, and I'm okay with that. So after that, we got a new title called Ghostwire Tokyo, and it's bizarre. I don't really know what it is. You're like fighting ghosts and other paranormal creatures, spirits, phantoms, whatever, in Tokyo, and it looks scary and weird.
I don't really get it. And the funniest thing about the whole thing was the lady that they sent out to explain it, which I give her massive, massive, massive props for endeavoring to do so when she very, very clearly did not natively speak English.
Yes.
So that was cool.
That was cool. And I thought it went well. I mean, the rollout and everything was cool. Just still don't know much about it. Honestly, just something like when I first saw it, like when they first started playing the like teaser, I was like, oh, this is really pretty. It's kind of a little eerie. I was thinking thrillerish, and then it went like full on supernatural. And I was kind of like, not as into it now. Like it had me for a second, and then it got really weird. And I was kind of into the kind of eerie thriller thing, not this. So we'll see what it is. Maybe it's cool, but I just don't imagine it being a massive deal. Elder Scrolls Online, they talked about some. They're doing big dragon thing in that, which all well and good. That's great. I don't know. I've got friends who are really into Elder Scrolls Online. Apparently, it's a good game. Again, it's us that aren't in that world, and so it's just not that compelling to me.
It's that old time thing.
It is very much so. Yeah. Again, in that perfect world, we might actually play some Elder Scrolls Online, but. I've got a billion things ahead of that on my list.
We say again, folks, if we're doing this full time, we'll get to all this crap, which, by the way, we've done one show and about 5 minutes. We've totally forgotten about the Patreon, guys.
Yep. I thought exactly. I pulled it up. Cabbage Jose, Narc, Duff, Josh, Hector, Spider, Spencer, Kavash, Chad, Zeke, Chris, Brigham. Thank you, guys. Apparently, y'all are getting shout-outs every other show so far during E3. Our apologies for that, but we do appreciate y'all greatly. And if you'd like to support us over on Patreon, you can do that at gamingandcensor.com and click that patron link there at the top. So thank you, guys, truly, even if we're sucking at thanking you during these shows.
here's the thing with all this stuff, and it's all the stuff that we're about to talk about, whether it's Elder Scrolls, Fallout 76, Doom, which we're coming up on here. All of them are well put together pieces of software, and I don't know that there is particular crap anywhere in there, but the overarching theme of this show is that nothing really reaches out and grabs you.
Yep. Yeah, I think that's succinct. There was nothing that, like, I left Bethesda going, oh yeah, I'm really pumped to have seen that. I'm really excited. I say that there's a few examples. One, it would be the next one up. That's again this nostalgia thing that's taking over E3 for me at least. Commander Keen showed up. Do you remember Commander Keen from back in the day?
It's been a long time, but yes, sir.
That was like early 90s PC gaming. So like my grandma, who's older now, obviously, but when I was young and she was younger, was like the most tech savvy person I knew. Like legitimately, like she loved tech. She had a car phone before like anybody, especially in the little bitty town I grew up in, had a car phone. You know, she got the internet super early on. And so she was my connection into the world of like early PC gaming. And so we had these ridiculous, you know, 3.5-inch floppy drives worth of games. One of those was Commander Keen. And I loved Commander Keen. I haven't thought about it in years, decades maybe. And it popped up and I'm like, that's really familiar to me. You know, like it took a little bit for it to click in my head exactly what I was seeing. But it's this ridiculous platformer from the very early 90s PC gaming world. And I'm actually, I think the game looks not great, but I'm going to play it because it's going to be free, which is nice, on mobile devices. And it's got that nostalgia thing that just gets me right. You know, like it's just that thing that like, it reminds me of my childhood and that's really cool.
Have we mentioned we're old?
We are old.
Because we are.
Yeah, Commander Keen. I would love to know if anybody else remembers Commander Keen. That's, I feel like it's fairly obscure.
Spider, where are you at?
Yeah, people that are our age and older. I'm curious. So, we got more Elder Scrolls, the card game Elder Scrolls Legends. Okay, just again, as much as I love the Elder Scrolls franchise, the canon kind of the games, whatever you want to call them. Maybe not canon, it's not the right word. All these other ones I just can't get into. I don't know. Like the stuff they talked about for Elder Scrolls Online sounds cool. I just, yeah. Rage 2 is getting new content. It's been, I don't know if, I think Rage 2 may be exactly what you were talking about a second ago, that it's like, it looks like it's decently well put together and it's all right, you know, but it's just not blowing the socks off everybody. And it's kind of how I felt when they showed new content for it. It's like, oh, it looks fine. You know, like if it pops up on Game Pass now, I'll play it, but I'm probably not going to spend money on it outside of that.
And I mean, that's kind of the point of the whole Game Pass thing, because while we were between shows, I'm digging around on Game Pass trying to see what there is. And one of the ones that I don't know how it got on there, where it came from, is Ark. I would never, ever, like, spend money on Ark, but Ark is on Game Pass. So, yeah, we're probably going to download Ark. If some of this stuff ends up on Game Pass, yeah, we're going to take the time.
Yeah. But until then, probably not.
No.
Wolfenstein was next up. Two Wolfenstein games. The first one is a VR game called Cyberpilot, where you get to like pilot Nazi vehicles and then shoot Nazis with them, which, fair enough, sounds like a good time. The other one is the, what's it called? The one with the twins.
Blood Moon.
That takes place in the 80s. Youngblood.
Youngblood.
That is BJ's twins. And it's co-op, and again, I mean, it looks fun. It looks Wolfenstein. You're killing Nazis. You know, what's not to love about it? I don't know that I'd spend money on it, though. It just doesn't quite stand out.
Speaking of Game Pass, Wolfenstein 2 is already there. Youngblood is going to be there. We will take a look at it through that. Thank you, Microsoft.
Yes. And encouraging that Wolfenstein is there, meaning that some of this other stuff could quite possibly land there fairly soon, which would be cool, too.
Yeah.
Arkane Studios came out with a new game that's not Dishonored, which was kind of a bummer because I'd rather see Dishonored. This one's called Deathloop, and it's... I didn't quite get it all the way, except it's two characters trying to kill each other, and it's like 80s-ish people trying to kill each other. That's like dueling assassins or something like that, and so... I don't know. It could be cool. Like the way they talked about it is it feels or it sounds like it'll play similar to Dishonored games that you can use your skills or techniques or whatever to have different fights or different scenes play out different ways, which is cool. I just love the Dishonored world so much that I'd just rather see a Dishonored game.
And they're probably like, we're really tired of it. Let's do something else.
No. I've got the DLC, standalone DLC for that sitting on my computer. I haven't played yet. I just thought about that. I need to get to that. What is it called, the DLC for Dishonored 2?
Billy, what would the...
Yeah, it was Billy, one where he plays Billy.
What's the name of that?
It's going to drive me crazy.
I have no idea.
Really quick. I've got it sitting there. It is Death of the Outsider.
Yes.
That's right. So, need to play that. That's what Bethesda made me think. I need to play your games that are already out. So, need to play Death of the Outsider. After that, they talked about their streaming technology, which is called Orion. Says that it can work with any game engine and is this efficient system that can translate, whatever, on and on. They talked about the tech for a little while. We are now being and going to continue to be inundated with cloud streaming, I think. This one didn't stand out to me.
Well,
did it to you?
Well, it's not supposed to. The entire point of this thing is that it works with games and other systems to make them work better. And it's all about, it's all about helping game developers streamline their textures, their load times, all of that stuff. That's what this tech does. You use it to streamline and make your stuff easier and faster to download, which makes
that's
streaming
fair.
Easier.
Yeah. This is more behind the scenes and not a user front end that you're dealing with. And so in that way, and if it helps with streaming technology, obviously I'm all for it. I think that's a good thing. It just felt kind of weird in the press conference. I guess they want to make sure people are aware that they're doing this. I doubt we'll hear much more about it directly from them. We may feel the effects of it again without ever even knowing we're feeling the effects of it. So, and then lastly, they ended with Doom. Doom Eternal is where we figured that they would end. That was going to be their big thing, sans any big announcements, of which there weren't any. They showed us some gameplay. They showed us some new modes with it. It's fast. It's crazy. It's all things you expect from Doom. It has a November 22nd release date. And that's cool. I dig it. And by far, I think Doom was the best thing that we saw during the press conference. Still not that thing that kind of blows your socks off.
Well, it's not that it's not good. It's just that we've seen it the past 2 years. Because, we had... the Doom remake, which came out in 2016 or something thereabouts.
Right in there,
And they've kind of been building on that ever since. So it's like, hey, look, more Doom, wonderful.
And they did the deep dive of Doom Eternal at QuakeCon, right? That was really good.
Right.
That had tons of gameplay, and that was really fun. This was, it had a little bit of gameplay, and so you could see... But it's basically the same that we've seen before. It wasn't anything super new about it. And so that was kind of Bethesda in a nutshell. Is, hey, we're still making games, and you're going to recognize the names of most of these games because we've been making them for a while. But the really star franchises in Bethesda world, we didn't see a ton of.
What they were trying not to do was say, Obsidian's making the game we should be making. Thank you.
Yes. Isn't that the truth?
That was what was going on there. It's like, payload, that other game over there that is probably better than Fallout 4. I mean, I'm not, I may be wrong, it might suck, but it looks like it's probably better than Fallout 4.
Yeah, no, it's fair. And we'll see when they decide they're brave enough to come out with Fallout stuff again. I don't think it's going to be for a while. They did mention both Starfield and Elder Scrolls 6, just saying, we want to make them great. They're next generation games. They're not coming soon.
Which tells me you're probably not going to see a lot of 2020. We thought the next time we would probably really, really see them is 2020. I'm doubting that at this point.
Me too. I bet we get that they've been all about Starfield as the priority, and so I bet we get something Starfield related 2020. I don't know if we see any gameplay. I think it might be just they show us a trailer and talk about the vision of the game at that point. And if we get Starfield by 2022, 2021, 2022, I think that would be pretty good. And then Elder Scrolls 6 by 2023, 24, like that's feeling forever away at this point, and it is. But that's kind of the trajectory right now. Todd Howard did say, not during the press event, but said before it, that their goal with Elder Scrolls 6 is to get a decade out of it. And by all means, they've proven they can with Skyrim. And so, I don't doubt it, but it's going to be a decade that's not starting anytime soon.
Well, and when you think about it, we've been hearing about it for a year already. And by the time it possibly comes out, I will need to renew my passport. And so that's like, I mean, that with the trouble that they've had this year, I feel like they're doing a very smart thing with both of these, in that everybody wants at least Elder Scrolls 6. Nobody knows anything about Starfield. So,
yeah,
whatever. But everybody wants Elder Scrolls 6 because they want more Skyrim.
Yes.
And they're literally saying nothing, because if they aren't careful, then they got a No Man's Sky type situation. Where they're like, it's Elder Scrolls 6, and no matter what they say, because Skyrim was Skyrim, people want that. And if it's not that, then they got a problem.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's wise for them to stay pretty tight-lipped about those two titles. But my question, I could get your thoughts on this. Was what they did, showing up and talking about the games that they have, and really, and I think this may be the best thing that they did, just being upfront and apologetic and whatever, self-aware of their issues over the past year. Is it better that they did that they had the press conference where they did that and had hype reels and everything else? Or would they have been better off taking the Sony route and just kind of staying completely under the radar this year and maybe popping back up next year?
Okay, so we've done 2 days, 3 days worth of this direct marketing thing at E3. And as we speak now, Ubisoft's on the stage, their press conference is going. It's an actual press conference. Bethesda did their deal. And I think I actually still prefer that. I don't know why, but I think I still prefer that. And especially with the fact that they had a bad year, they needed to get in front of people and say, yes. Hey, we sucked. We're sorry. And they did that.
Yep. That was the flaw in my question. Self-aware flaw in my question. But the difference between Sony and Bethesda is obviously Sony didn't have a bad year. You know, like they didn't screw up their big game launch this past year. And so I do think that that's one reason it was good for Bethesda to get out there and do that, even with, you know, again, a solid slate of games. They're good games. And there's going to be people that are really excited about just about everything they showed off. But even though it wasn't that kind of next tier up game, they have that very top tier game that they have. I think it's wise to come out and be contrite.
Here's what I want you to think about. Let's assume, let's fast forward 4 years, five, whenever it is that we see the big dump of Elder Scrolls 6 stuff. Here it is. We've got gameplay. We've got somebody playing it. It's awesome. That is a title along with Fallout and some of their other titles. I feel like you need to do those in front of a crowd. I don't know why, because of the community aspect maybe, but I don't really see Bethesda doing direct marketing well.
Yeah.
Because of the community aspect. So do you think, assuming that whether E3 is around or not, do you think that whenever that happens, they rent a theater somewhere and get on YouTube with a crowd and the whole thing?
I think they would be wise to. I think it would be a good decision on their point, on their part. Yeah, regardless of if it's E3 or their own thing. But I think one of the things that helped them in this showing was the very enthusiastic crowd. Again, that was deliberate. It wasn't a mistake that they got an enthusiastic crowd. But it does help whenever, you know, Todd Howard's up there like saying, hey, we botched some stuff, and the crowd is giving him, you know, moral support, that it makes them look better. Like there's a psychological aspect to that pays off. And so yeah, when they show Elder Scrolls 6 or Starfield or whatever, the fact that they have people there that can ooh and ah, and that you get that sense of it, I think is helpful. I do. In the era of directs, which we're going to talk about in the next episode, which is going to be a lot of fun, I agree. Maybe it's just because we're old and we grew up on E3 being this way.
Well,
but I really do think there's something to be said for having that live audience, that feedback, that kind of palpable excitement that you don't get in, say, a Nintendo Direct.
It depends on what the software is. For example, if Sony was smart, and they are, but they're also dumb sometimes, but if they were really smart and they really wanted to take advantage of The Last of Us 2, you rent a theater or whatever that theater is that they always use right in the middle of L.A., you put lots of people in it, and you sit them down for an hour and say, here's The Last of Us 2. And that would be create the biggest hype train there ever was. It's already got a lot of hype. That would throw it over the edge. And I think that applies to everybody with the exception of Nintendo.
Yeah, and I mean, Nintendo could do it too. Nintendo's done it in the past before, where they've done it well. Nintendo's honestly, I mean, the last several years that they've done the Nintendo Direct thing for E3, we've thought it's been fairly lame. You know, like we haven't come out pumped, but then they release stuff that we care about and they get us anyway. But you're right. It does have to be the right software. It has to be the right presentation. Even Sony last year, which we ended up really liking the Sony event last year. it was weird and awkward at the beginning with the tent church and whatever, you know, like it just did like you've got to pull it off. It's not right. Just having people in front of screens that makes it work. There's a lot of other moving parts to make it work. But if you do it, and I think Bethesda did it well, pretty traditional what we think of a press conference, but big screens and exciting stuff and a crowd that was into it, like, it makes you feel better about where they are, where they're at. Again, I'm going to play some Bethesda games, but there's nothing out of that press conference that I have to have. Still, I enjoyed it. It was fine.
Yeah. I mean,
it's fine.
I mean, like, let's go get some booze and play some Fallout. I mean,
that's exactly what
it boils down to. They're no better or worse because of this.
Yes.
Here's the thing. Here's an easy way to quantify it. After the Microsoft show, I sent you a text that simply said Microsoft wins. Microsoft had to have that. Okay, Microsoft had to come out this year and do well. Sony's not around. Microsoft's not around. Microsoft could not really afford to suck. And because Bethesda had a bad year, they needed to come out in front of a crowd and say, hey, we sucked, but their software is always good. So the only reason they needed the thing in the crowd and all that was because they sucked. Microsoft was the one out of everybody that had to have the press conference this year and not suck, because they've sucked for 5 years. So that's what it is. It's what you're trying to do. And like I said, Bethesda make great software. We like it. And now let's go play some of it.
Yes, that's a good way to look at it. So that's it for Bethesda. The next episode is going to talk about the Devolver Direct, which was pretty amazing. And we'll talk very little about games in that one, a little bit. There were a few game things announced during it, but that's definitely not what Devolver Digital is trying to do. And so you'll get that, and it'll be a trip, because the Devolver press conference thing is always a trip. So that's coming.
So here we are, right in the middle of E3. We've done what it was. This is show 4, and we hope you guys are enjoying this. Please go by the different various social medias. I have not looked. I assume Tommy is on the Twitter, which is probably vastly entertaining.
I missed a good chunk of yesterday with the storm thing, but back now. So yes, there is Twitter content.
He's got the Twitter going on. I need to get on Twitter because I've become a massive fan of Twitter. But we've got that. We've got the Facebook, the Patreon. There's nothing there yet. There will be. It's coming.
There will be. It's going to be later in E3 this year, but it's coming.
Lots and lots of good stuff coming up over there. So if you're not a patron and you want to be, right now is the time to get involved, because you're going to see lots and lots of us, for whatever that's worth. And let's face it, you're here for us, because we're that good. We're not that good. We don't know why you're here.
But God bless you.
Yeah. So, anyway, definitely go by there. Check that out. For now, that's it for Bethesda. You are listening to Gaming Uncensored's continued coverage of E3 2019. It's the Electronics Entertainment Expo Extravaganza, and it's only on GamingUncensored.com, and we are out. Gaming Uncensored. Answered is brought to you by Colonel Duff. Duff, helping a random handicapped guy in the middle of nowhere. Only on Gaming Uncensored.